Hygiene and Disease Prevention Radio is right here on Radio MD. Here's author, blogger, lecturer, and national medical media personality, Dr. Michael Smith, MD, with Healthy Talk.
When I was a kid, I grew up to about age 12 in Southern California. I remember a specific playground we had, and I remember the slide. I remember, first of all, you had to go up these rusted metal stairs just to get up to this platform that wobbled, you know, like even without earthquakes. And then when you got on this slide, it was metal. And it would burn, and you would stick, and you would end up just kind of rolling down the slide. It wasn't really a slide. It was just kind of like a roller, really. And you would just plop at the end into the dirt and everything. And I just remember it was just a blast. We had so much fun on that type of playground. Now, I don't know if that's the type of playground my guest is talking about, but my guest said, and this is a quote, "Playgrounds are now sterile, overprotected areas of parent directed play." He is Rusty Keller. He's an author, speaker, and playground designer who has worked for almost 25 years to inspire and collaborate with communities around the world to create beautiful outdoor environments for children. He is the author of the book Natural Playscapes, Creating Outdoor Play Environments for the Soul. Rusty, welcome to Healthy Talk.
Hey, thank you so much. Glad to be here.
Did you, when you were a kid, did you have those types of rusty stairs to get up to a metal slide that you really just kind of rolled down?
That's what I had. Yeah, exactly. And crazy merry-go-rounds with...
Yeah. How did you get started? And what made you... How did you decide, okay, I'm gonna start designing playgrounds that are a little bit more kid-directed? I mean, how did you do this? Tell us your story.
Sure. You know, I actually started off in the traditional playground equipment manufacturing world as a designer, and I was designing kind of traditional fixed playground equipment that you see at schools and parks and communities, and I love that. I love design for play and thinking about, you know, all the benefits of play, social, emotional, physical, intellectual development, and that was great. But then I started thinking that children needed more than just fixed equipment. So my first step away from that was to do natural playgrounds and trying to reconnect children to nature. So instead of just fixed equipment, you might be building hills or pathways and sand and water and mud and all that kind of stuff. Getting into the good stuff. And, you know, I kind of tapped into my own childhood memories of, you know, there was the rusted playground equipment, but then there were also the fields behind my house. And it felt like they went on forever, and that's where I kind of learned about the world and the seasons and myself and, you know, climbing trees and jumping off rocks and finding snakes, you know, and all that kind of good stuff. So
I'm not telling my listeners' kids to go play with snakes, though. We're going to get that clear, right?
That's right. But if you learn that as a kid, then you can identify what are the good snakes and what are bad snakes.
That's a good lesson, isn't it?
It is. You need to know that stuff. And if kids don't get the opportunity, that's when they can get hurt, kind of thing.
Let me back up for a second. So when you were working, we're not going to talk about what company you used to work for.
Sure.
But when you were creating that very, the fixed, as you said, like fixed type of play equipment, what was that, to you, when you're developing that kind of stuff, what was it missing? Was it just, was it not allowing the kids to be creative when they're out with this stuff? I mean, what was it that made you go, I need to change something here?
Yeah, it's funny. You know, at first, I loved it. You know, my heart was in it, and I had really pure intentions, and we designed some great stuff. But I always remember this one day, I was having lunch with the marketing director, and he was reading this child development book, and there was this chapter on adventure playgrounds, which are these wild playgrounds started in Europe after World War II. They were called junk playgrounds because it was all loose parts and kids just building their own stuff, using hammers and saws and cooking over fires, and there were adult play workers. And I always remember he shut the book, looked at me seriously, and said, I don't know why we're trying to sell playground equipment. There's nothing better than adventure playgrounds for kids.
So what support do we have of this, though? Because the way I see this is what you're telling me is that these adventure playgrounds, this new way of kid-directed play is producing healthier kids. How is that? I mean, do we have proof of that? Is there, what are some of the benefits, I guess, of these types of playgrounds?
Sure. Well, so if you look at, like, fixed equipment, that's what I call the playground equipment, children can't change it. It's the same day after day after day, and there's something good about that. It's bomb-proof. It'll last a long time. But children can't use their own creativity and their own minds to create their own worlds. So that you create something that's more like an adventure playground, which gives them the ultimate opportunity to invent their worlds and work together with other kids to build forts and dens or dig in the mud and make up their own games. And it's almost a way that adults are stepping back and allowing the children to do that. And maybe it's allowing children to kind of have the experiences that we had as kids, more free-range kids. And then that gives children...
I like that. Wait. Let's say that again. Free-range kids. That's awesome. That's a great way to kind of to visualize what you're doing, right? These are kids who, as you said, are digging in the dirt and rolling around. They're not just going down the same slide over and over again or through the same tube, right? So they're free range. I love that, Rusty.
Yeah, me too. I mean, and so then kids are kind of learning to, you know, make their own decisions. So they're not always having adults, you know, when you ask people, like, what are their favorite childhood memories, what did they do, and they still tell you, and then you say, was it adult supervised? And of course people are like, no, my mom never knew I was doing that. And, you know, that's a lot of places where life lessons happen.
Rusty, we know too, you know, going back to my psychiatry days, we know it's well established that a certain amount of free play, let's use the word you just did, the phrase you did, the kid, you know, the range-free kid type
free
play.
Free-range
kid, it actually is important to how the kid starts to learn to deal with social situations, right? It's not just learning about themselves, but it's learning about how they relate to others, right? I mean, all of that, that's where people learn how to be leaders at times, follower at times. I mean, that's well established in the kid psychiatry books that type of free play is so necessary for that type of social growth. And yet, we're not seeing that today, are we? I mean, most of the kids, it's all, not only is it parent-directed on the playgrounds, it's also parent-directed in baseball, softball, football, whatever it is. We're just not letting the kids go out and play anymore.
That's right. That's exactly right. They don't have that kind of
freedom. It's causing, I think, a lot of problems.
Yeah, I mean, that's it. And then they don't learn to, well, how do you structure your own time if it's always structured for you? Or how do you lead your own play if it's always led by adults? How do you create your own, you know, and then how do you learn to assess risk? And that's a big topic now. You know, it used to be we're trying to keep kids safe. We don't want kids hurt, so playgrounds are safe, and, you know, our neighborhoods are trying to be safer and safer. And they used to be safe at any cost, but they're realizing that there's too many costs keeping kids indoors all the time. And so we want opportunities where kids can access risk and then assess it. And we know that if you were climbing a tree or if you were on that rusty playground, you're making choices about what feels comfortable or not. And we want kids to be able to do that in life. You know, life is about taking risks, you know, and growing, and learning is about that, trying things that you haven't done before. So we want environments where kids have those opportunities to try.
Yeah, so Rusty, we only have about, say, 30 seconds left. So why don't you, first of all, give us maybe a website that you would like my listeners to go check out where they can learn more about what you're doing?
Sure. EarthPlay.net. EarthPlay.net. That's my website.
So EarthPlay.net, and there's also a video of some of the stuff that Rusty has developed, these types of new playgrounds. There was gardening in there. It's really awesome, Rusty. You're doing some great work. I appreciate you coming on. This is Healthy Talk on Radio MD. I'm Dr. Mike. Stay well.